Faisai very rarely comment upon current events. I have, however, in front of my eyes, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakovid meitzinis ha'adam min ha'aylam. And I feel that many times when you're giving a shiur, you're looking for a mashal, a capable tool with which to convey an idea, whether the idea itself is so complex that it requires a mashal or not. Mishalim are always valuable. And the whole idea of Shlomo HaMelech was the chacham mikol adam. So how did he spend a good deal of his time in his harbatzas Torah, so to speak, to the world? L'dayre dayreis, by mishalim. Tikein mishalim harbe. And the idea of a mashal has two very powerful koyches. One of them is simply that it takes an idea, makes it relevant, makes it capable for the person to comprehend the depth of the idea. The more complicated the idea, of course, the more necessary the mashal would be. But there's another yesod in a mashal, which is critical, especially in the inyanim of Haycheach Toychiach Es Hamisecha. Now we do not know, and anyone that dares to speak about David HaMelech is taking great risks. We do not know how David HaMelech would have reacted if Nosan HaNovi came to him and said right away, you did this and this and this. All we have is the record of the Novi. And the record of the Novi, David HaMelech is approached by Nosan, and he is not approached directly. He's approached quite indirectly. And there's a whole story, a mashal, if you will, which is extremely elaborate in its detail. And the Navi spends a great time dwelling upon it. And he describes this very rich man who has everything. And there's a poor man who has one little shepsala that is almost human in terms of his endearment. And the rich man steals away the shepsala. So what is the mishpat of this person? And David HaMelech is asked as Melech and as Shofet to judge, ma mishpat, what is the mishpat of Ha'ish Hazeh? So David HaMelech says, ben moves, he deserves to die. You don't die for stealing. What David HaMelech sees is an incredible corruption of character. An extraordinary act of harm and hurtfulness. The person has no sensitivity for the Oni, and he is, in quotation marks, killing him. B'dayme tamal b'mpnei chaveru b'rabim is like Ritzicha. So he says, ben mavitzu. And then, coming around full circle to David HaMelech, he says, ata ha'ish. And David HaMelech says, amnam chatasi. In fact, his tshuva was so profound and so total that the Mefarshim say that even though generally you have to say chatasi or visi or pashayti lefanecha, but chatasi is enough, and already he answers him, you will be forgiven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has accepted your tshuva. The Vilna Gaon, we won't go into it, but being Mefarish, certain psukim in Tehillim points out that that's exactly what the psukim are saying in Tehillim as well. That Hashem already accepted it, even though he just said chatasi. The purpose, therefore, of a mashal could be, and again, I forewarn what I am saying with this advisory. I do not implicate David HaMelech. David HaMelech might have said chatasi even if he spoke to him directly. But the fact is that Nosan HaNovi gave him a mashal. In our lives, for sure, it doesn't always work. You know, I once told you a long time ago, there was a certain yid in my shul in the Lower East Side that did something quite inappropriate, and it was not shaykh for me to talk to him personally. I knew that he would not be mekabelit at all. And it would have consequences and ramifications totally the opposite of what I intended. So, being a rav and being used to giving mishalim, I decided this is the mahalach. We're going to give a mashal that is quite appropriate and accurate and to the point from the bima, and the target of that mashal. You know, there's a maisa with the Dubna Magid about a target of a mashal. And I don't mean making the target. I'm talking about something else. The Dubna Magid came to a town. He was a wandering and itinerant Magid. You know, the Dubna Magid was a goyin olam. But he schlepte chalom. And he went from town to town, and some places there were more hachnosas achim than others. He came to a certain place. Nobody was interested in answering the door when he was knocking on the door. He had to spend Shabbos in the hachnosas achim, which was very not bekavedik. That morning he gets up, and he speaks to the olam. And he says he came to a certain town, didn't identify their town, he was telling a marshal. He came to a certain town, and he was about to approach this door and that door and another house and another house, but there were dogs growling and threatening, so he decided he doesn't want to take a chance. One of the balabatim, one of the knackers in the community, realized he's talking about them, because he was one of the people that slammed the door in his face the other day on Erev Shabbos. So he jumps up in the middle of the drush and he says, "A chutzpah of you, you're a stranger, you come here and you call us dogs." He says, "Calm down and wait a minute, I didn't finish the marshal." He says, "I came to one house and all of a sudden the dogs started not just growling but barking and howling. And I was so scared. So I took a rock and I threw it at them. And one of the dogs started to yelp. It's a simon I hit him." So, anyhow, I felt that that's what's going to happen. That it'll be a, like, you know, for everybody it'll be a story, a Musa Haskell for the future. But this person, and it worked like a charm. I gave this one of my finest mishalim, one of my best drushes. And he jumps up right after the drasha and he comes over to me and gives me a slap on the back. "Boy, Rabbi, did you tell them?" As he does. So, lemaisa, if you have a mashal and the target understands that the mashal is for him, it has a tremendous kayach. You know why? Because it allows you to convict yourself. Taychacha is an extremely difficult thing to be mekabel. No one wants to be seen in a bad light. No one wants to be wrong. A healthy person. People who are not healthy, they're constantly beating on themselves. You know, I remember once there was a fellow in the yeshiva who was a genius. He was a baal tshuva, and in a few months he memorized Gantz Tagum Unklus. I mean, you know, you understand. Mamish a genius. And perhaps with the mind of a genius goes together, Baruch Hashem, that, you know, I don't have that problem, but the mind of a genius goes together with all kinds of additional aspects. And one of them was that he used to beat his head against the wall on a regular basis, and he said, "Why am I such a failure?" But healthy people don't want to be failures, don't want to be seen as failures, they don't want to be wrong, and they don't want to be seen as wrong. That's a mitzvah. This is a fact. So therefore, when you're mochiach somebody, besides the inyan itself, there's a drumbeat. You are no good. And that is something people are refusing to accept to such an extent that they will say, "Rabbi, you told them." And therefore, it doesn't even work when a marshal has to hit its target. But at least the marshal in the successful moments achieves its purpose by allowing the person to judge himself. Now, whenever we judge ourselves, it's always easier to be makabel. When he said, Ben Mavis, who, since he was talking about that story, when he heard Ato Ha'ish, there's no room, there's no leeway. Now, if he wasn't David HaMelech, he would immediately have reacted and said, "What kind of a comparison is that?" etc., etc., etc. But the fact, or I had this reason and that reason, blah, blah, but the untish teshur is that David HaMelech is David HaMelech. But apparently Nosan HaNavi has to give the mashal. That's what I see. So in this mashal, there's the ability, in every mashal, there's an ability to achieve a hocheach tochiach for the person upon himself by applying the mashal. But you, the mochiach, are only saying a story. You're telling a tale. So Mishalim have both of those values. One of them is to be masbir something that's complicated, and the other one is in hocheach tocheach. Sometimes a Rav, getting back to what I started saying, has to conjure up a mashal. And sometimes life throws the mashal into your face, hands it to you on a silver platter, and begs, use me. So whenever that happens, I'm yotze chutz legidri, I never talk about current events. I think about there's two kinds of redifas hakavod, or redifas hataiva. Sometimes you know that there's nobody looking, and you know that there's nothing to fear, except of course for the Ribbono Shel Olam, but that doesn't count. So when you know there's nothing to fear, and what you do is easily covered up, easily excused, or whatever it is, and also the she'ifa, the need, the desire, on some level makes sense. So when all of that adds up, the person makes the cheshbon, it's kedai. Kavod especially. There's two kinds of kavod. There's a kavod that's extremely low level and extremely temporary, and in the end, it doesn't pay to be preoccupied with it at all. Which aliyah did you get is one of those examples. It's totally absurd. But sometimes kavod is big stakes. You want to be the president. I don't mean of the shul. I'm talking about, you know, the president. Although, who knows what's better. Abba Lamaisa, there's a certain redifas hakavod which we can almost understand why a person should want something so badly and try so hard to get it. Now, in kavod, it's easier to comprehend such a thing than in taiva, because in the end, taiva is taiva. But if a person, for example, was mekabel tainus, and he has a regular meal, and there's nothing special on the plate, it's not hard to be oimid b'nisayon. But what if it just happens that somebody from out of town came and invited him to a dinner in the fanciest restaurant, just on that day? Well, he starts thinking, you know something, maybe I should be matinet. So what is it? Because the taiva for a regular meal is doesn't exist, kemat. Unless, you know, you're hungry. That's what a tainus is. A tainus is that you're hungry. Nishgefelach. But when you're talking about, you know, when something is $200 a plate or whatever it is, and he's inviting you and he's paying for it, and it's special and it's nice, and the ambiance, you know, everything is ambiance. So the ambiance is gewaldic. So lemaisa, you can see where the person is being propelled to look for aitzes and excuses. You have a person, the head of the IMF. You should know there's a yesaida yesaidis. Beware of the hyphenated last name. The guy's name is Strauss Kahn. Now, one of the reasons I'm talking about it is Poshet, you know. So, chutzpah neira. Where does he come to take my name? So, mamash agazlan shebegazlonim. Agazlan shebegazlonim. Where does he come to take my name? Even though it's Strauss Kahn, I should be grateful that he changed it a little bit. But afal pk. Now, you know, hyphenated names are very nice until you're the fourth generation. Because then you won't even be able to finish the exam because you'll be busy writing your name for half an hour. Because this one is Strauss Kahn and the other one is, you know, Shprinzik Pipik. And then, so the child will have to be Strauss Kahn, Shprinzik Pipik. And then if you go down a few generations, you're talking about 18 or... I mean, it's like, you know, if you know math, you know how to figure that out. But the fact of the matter is that this guy is standing Berumoy Shel Olam. I mean, there's a whole question of whether that job is worth anything altogether. And there's a whole question of whether the IMF is worth anything. That's International Monetary Fund, right? If, for those, you know, who want to know. So, and not everybody's masking that the whole thing is worth anything. But Lu Yitzuya, in the Kavod Hameduma of this world, it is something, and the head of it is somebody. Vaharaya is entitled to a $5,000 a night room in a hotel. Now, whenever I go to a hotel, which I don't do anymore, kemat ever, but if the person's not paying for me, I look for $49. but when you have this kind of pocket, you know, why not? You know, it's not my money anyhow. So it's the International Monetary Fund you're talking about. You know, $5,000 is actually quite cheap. You know, the penthouse was $25,000 a night. So the fact of the matter is that this man is the Beruma Shel Olam. Now, Could you imagine? Guy gets involved with a princess. Princess. Ein Kleinigkeit. I could see it. I mean, you know, Strauss Kahn, Ahin Strauss Kahn Ahed, he's exactly not an Eved Hashem b'chol levavot v'chol nafshot. So the fact of the matter is that a person like that, you can get involved with a princess. You could. I could see it. And maybe even more so if she's already an Eishes Ish. But the fact of the matter is that he didn't get involved with a princess. He got involved with a scullery maid. I'm a scullery, maybe she's not a scullery maid. Maybe she's a chosh of a maid. She does the beds. So this woman is in his room. And you have to understand, she's a person. She has a mouth, she has feelings, and she not goyres him b'chlal. IMF or not, that means nothing to her. She never heard of the IMF. Imagine. And he is ready, muchon u'mezuman, to throw everything into the garbage can, be mevuza in every paper in the world, and all over the internet. Everything today is that way, that everybody, even a fellow who doesn't know how to read, is already on the internet in darkest, you know, Australia and in Alaska and wherever they are. They don't have anything and they have a cell phone. And they find out everything that's going on in the world, in every language possible. They translate, transliterate, you can do anything you want. Everybody, b'chol katzvei tevel, has to know that this person did a maisa behema mamish against somebody else's will, and it's with a maid, and he throws his entire life and career, never mind marriage, into the garbage. For what? For a peculiar taiva, which at the best is a moment's pleasure, v'su lo midi. How could that be? And that's what interests me about the whole story. But the taich of kinder taiva v'kovod motzienes ha'odam min ha'olam, there it is, right in front of you. You don't need a better mashal than this. You know what motzienes ha'odam min ha'olam doesn't mean min ha'olam abo. It means min ha'olam hazeh. Today he's on top, and the next minute, at his own doing only, there's no one else, no one sets him up, no one does anything to him, nobody is trying to undermine him, to destroy his reputation, he does it all to himself, and for what? And 5 minutes after being on the top, he's mamish in the garbage can, in the bottom of all bottoms. So it's a chapela de gezach. So I have a kasha, and that's what interests me about the whole story. That it's a poshup shad in Vakina Taiva Kov Motsina Sodom in Olam, and that the mushal of real life is the best mushal I could possibly give you. In fact, if I would have given you such a mushal, you would have said, you know, Rabbi Kahn likes to, you know, paint pictures, and of course, you know, that'll never happen. But Lamaisa, it's a nice mushal, you know, it makes the point. So you give me the credit for the point, but you will never believe that such a thing could happen in real life. Well, it happens in spades. I couldn't have made up a better mashal than this mashal for motzien es ha'adam in ha'olam. Zoch ne'ravayim. And all of France is upset. All of France is upset. Because he's putting them in a bad light. Because they say that you only have a right to do it with a princess who's an Eishes Ish. And where do you come to a scullery maid or any kind of maid for that matter? Zoch mamish gefelach. Anyhow, b'kitza, you know what this teaches me, though? And this is so nogeya to me, and maybe even to you. It's really nogeya. How does a person ever do any aveira? That's what interests me. How does a person do an aveira? Maisa, there's a awareness, a consciousness of every genuine oivedes Hashem. Genuine oivedes Hashem. That we're all avdei Hashem. We're not mechuyev to knock ourselves all the time that we're not this and we're not this. And we are. We really are. You look at the world and you look at where we're holding very, very high. It's not 100%. So on a scale of 0 to 100 for the balance of the world, it's 98.3. So what? But 98.3 is a very high madrega. So how is it that we falter sometimes? How do we fall in?
Ruach shtus.
Oh, so no, but I want to show you how ruach shtus works. And this is, I really believe that this is the mechanism. You see, the problem that I'm having is, how does that voice that says it's an Aveira, how does that voice say that it's dangerous? How does that voice that says it's a stira to who you are, how is that voice that says Hashem is watching you, how does that voice get stilled? So my point is that unless that voice will get stilled, a person will not be able to do an Aveira. Especially something that is of the moment and something that's not really that necessary. What I'm saying is, if a person has no food and his family is starving and he can steal some apples from the grocer when he doesn't look, I can understand how a person could make a shekel even with the knowledge that Siddur Rabbeinu Shlalom have developed. He says, Rabbeinu Shlalom, I can't, you'll forgive me. There is that level. But I'm not talking about those kind of Aveiras. I'm talking about an Aveira where there is no excuse and where the person knows he's doing something wrong. So how does he, what happens there? So the answer number one is that by the time the Aveira is about to happen, there is no Tzad Shekeneged. That's an amazing thing. There's a suspension of the Tzad Shekeneged. The Taiva invades the personality and erases for the moment any understanding of what's right and what's wrong, any comprehension that Hashem is there, any knowledge that v'nichtav ba'sefer. I mean, a person who takes seriously that there's an olam ha'emes, and a person that takes seriously the idea of chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nichtavim, kemat should not be able to do an aveira. Again, excusing sometimes the little things. So they'll say, well, the record will have a couple of bad footnotes, but v'derech klal, I'm okay. Yeah, you could do that sometimes. And I could understand the rationale. But when it comes to something that's relatively serious, and something that Chazal keep talking about is not right, is wrong, is terrible. So where does a person ever come to do something like that? The answer is, the whole of Pirkei Avos, and the whole of the Mesilas Yesharim, and the Shaarei Teshuva, and the Chovos HaLevavos, and even Rav Ol B'Svarim, they're all packed up in a box and the lid is closed and it's put in the basement before the person does an Aveira. It's a remarkable mechanism that we have. That is the taich of Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. The idea of Ruach Shtus is that the person himself, had he had that higher consciousness working, would have easily been able to interpret that what he's doing is totally wrong. And you know how I know? Because the moment that that chokehold is released, generally after the Aveira, a flood of guilt enters into the person. Why does guilt enter into the person? Lamaisa, do you know what the teretz is? Because he's opened up the door, he's unpacked the boxes, brought them up from the basement, and now he's reading the Chovos HaLevavos and the Mesilas Yesharim. And the stira between what he did and what he is and what he wants is so great that it fills him with a tremendous sense of guilt to the point of despair, which usually lasts about 10 or 15 minutes. That's human nature. But for those 15 minutes, he promises that he will never, ever do it again. V'lo yashuv l'kisloi oit. And it's a remarkable thing in tshuva. The Rambam says, what is tshuva gemura? He has the ability to do the aveira again, and he doesn't do it. And in the act of tshuva, the Rambam says, what is it? Besides vidui, he has to make a total commitment. V'yoyid olav yodea ta'alumos she'eino chozer l'dover ze'od. He's never going to do it again. V'yoyid olav, what's v'yoyid olav? So v'yoyid is an interesting word, because it really has two meanings. V'yoyid olav means Hashem will testify, or he makes Hashem his witness. But either pshat, he's saying that Hashem sees this tshuva to be so strong that at the moment of the tshuva, the person, if he would remain in that madrega, would never do the aveira again. Unfortunately, even after tshuva, and that's why there's a chiyuv to be misvada again and again and again for the same aveiras, and even after Yom Kippur and consecutive Yom Kippurs, Aveira Shoshana Zu, Mizvada Shona Acheres. This is human nature. But we have to know that that is what happens. Because maybe before a person does an Aveira, he can do something that does not allow that sequestering, that jailing of the Koichos HaTov, of the Yetzer HaTov, of the higher instincts of the person to be completely choked off. And there's one way, and only one way, I think, to do that, if the Yetzer Hara has a person by the throat. And that is to take the higher perceptions and make them, very simple, relevant by exposing yourself in a public way. It's like turning on the lights. Suddenly everything is different. In the Maisa that I quote all the time of Rav Amram Chasida, you have an ultimate example of this. Rav Amram Chasida, but I'm talking about even before the Maisa, before that. Because it's much easier before that than in the middle of it. Because before that, there's not so much busha. In the middle of it, there's a tremendous amount of busha, which most people cannot withstand. What happened with Rav Amram Chasida is remarkable. In a certain sense, it shows the natural instincts of a person and how extremely powerful they are, no matter what. And Kol HaGadol Mechaveiro Yitzro Gadol Himenu is an expression of that. Greatness of personality very often comes with greatness of instincts, even the most base instincts. Because base instincts, kinda taiva kovet matzina sadam l'olam, are also machnisina sadam l'olam. And the greater a person is, the more hachnosa, so to speak, there is ba'olam. So therefore, he has these koichas. But the nisayon of those koichas are infinite. Rav Amram Chasida is in a house, in a room, and there's an attic. The attic in those days had a ladder that was very heavy, and you had to have several people schlepping the ladder, and there was an opening, like a hole in the ceiling. That's how you access the attic. It wasn't a second floor. It was actually an attic. And the attic, you know, we have sometimes these steps that pull down, but it's like a ladder, and you can pull it down and push it up, and it's very easy. They had a ladder that was very heavy, and you actually had to schlep it over. It was built in such a way that you could climb up into the attic. And they used the attic for storage, they used the attic for whatever reason, but it needed a whole procedure to access. They came back to that town with girls who were taken into captivity by the Arelim, and they were returned by Pidyon Shvuyim, and they are now very vulnerable. They're vulnerable, they're damaged goods, they're vulnerable. So they need a place for them to stay overnight before they continue on their journey with them. They couldn't find a better place than the house of Rav Amram Chasida, because it's Rav Amram. And also, should not be a problem of Yichud and so on, they put them into the house, in the attic, by schlepping this ladder over and putting them upstairs, and then pulling the ladder away. And there's no way that Rav Amram Chasida can move the ladder. It's just one person. And the ladder is very heavy. In the middle of the night, Chazal, very, very short, very, almost like, it demands to tell the story in as few words as possible. And apparently with the intention that we should struggle to fill out the picture so that we become part of the story. Sometimes when you tell the story in too much detail, you can fall asleep in the middle of the most exciting story. But when you have to hang on to every word, you become almost a creator, a participant in telling the story. It's a gevaldike yisayin, you should know. So the Gemara says it in very, very few words. And the Gemara says that suddenly he saw a shaft, a ray of light, which is a remarkable image, which I can't go into right now, but he saw a ray of light. Part of taiva is to translate the low-level things into something that is higher. A person can look at a woman and he could say, I have tremendous kairas ruach from looking at this woman. Kairas ruach is a very high level. It's a redefinition of taiva. It's very interesting. Anyhow, that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says he took the ladder single-handedly with superhuman kairas and he drags it over and he's climbing up the ladder. Amram Chasida. You see what happened? There's a total suspension of the Amram Chasida in Amram Chasida. Pilei ploy, koichos hanefesh. It chokes off all the higher perceptions. In the middle of the ladder, he is still Amram Chasida after all. And that's the difference probably between Amram Chasida and somebody else. He stops. He can't go up and he can't go down. Pile ploy. And he knows that any moment, and the chokehold is getting stronger and stronger, and he's going to lose his sensibility, and the Ruach Shtus is going to take over completely, and he's going to climb up the rest of the ladder. You know what he does? He starts screaming a classic Lashon, Nura Bei Amram. There's a fire in the house of Amram. Very remarkable the way the Gemara is trying this, because there is a fire in the house of Amram. But that's not what the people hear. They think there's a fire. He's yelling fire. He's yelling fire. The bucket brigade comes. The whole town is surrounding the house of Amram Chasida, trying to smell the smoke, looking for the flames, and the people go into the house, and guess what they see? They see Amram Chasida with a ladder that you cannot move single-handedly, standing there in the middle of the thing. There is no smoke, there is no fire, there's just bizei bizyonis. Amram Chasida? Wow. That is really something. So they look at him and they say to him, Amram, you embarrass us. And Amram Chasida, who is now 100% Amram Chasida, maybe he always was, really, says to them, better that I should be mevaze you in this world than in the world to come. And you see, what he meant was mistama. Imagine somebody is nifter, a really choshuva fellow, did a lot of tzedakah of a chesed in his life. He comes to the Beis Din Shalmala, and Beis Din Shalmala says, you know, you really have so many zechuyos you cannot imagine. So we give you the privilege, who do you want to be with? And he says, I want to be with Rabbi Amram Chasida, if you'll allow me. And he says to him, it whispers in his ear, listen, pick somebody else. You really don't want to be with Amram Chasida. He said, no, I want to be with Amram Chasida. I used to watch the way he davens, and I watched the way he learned, and I watched the way he was meisa nefesh for this and for that, and how he deprived himself from all gashmias. And how many, and then he says to the fellow, and by the way, do you know how few people are called Chasida in the Gemara? There's a Reb Yitzchak Chasida somewhere, and there's a, maybe three times. So Amram Chasida, you want to deprive me? Maybe I'm not, no, I'm telling you, you want, all right, I'm not going to fight with you. So they get into the elevator and it starts going down. He says, better I should embarrass you in this world than in the world to come. So we are not ready to stop in the middle of the ladder, and we are definitely not ready to say Nura Bayamam. It's a remarkable thing, because one of our instincts, besides Kina and Taiva, is Kavod. And Kavod means I refuse to be embarrassed. I refuse to allow myself to be embarrassed. I could with that embarrassment be kind of Kolo Lamaba, but I am not going to let myself be embarrassed. It's remarkable. Kaychus HaNefesh. The Rebbeinu Shlom created a very complex person. Therefore, you have to make it public before the Aveira happens. That's the answer. And it sometimes requires a certain creative consciousness, but if it's done, I guarantee you, the person has a segula never to do Aveiras of that nature, on that level. And that's what I see. Imagine if the person had this machshava for a second, and he didn't let the taiva overcome him. Of course, he doesn't have much to work with, because hyphenated names generally don't have too much to work with. But he doesn't have much to work with. He doesn't have an arsenal of Yiras Shamayim behind him. But imagine if he would have said, Kol picked up the phone and said, somebody's trying to burglarize me. Come up immediately. That would have been the end of it. He definitely will not attack the maid in the presence of the security officer. Right, what's the difference? That's it. Because then it's a machloikis between kina, taiva, and kavod. You understand what I mean? So taiva says yes, but kavod says no. And kavod will win. in the public frame of reference, it's very rare that somebody can do an aveira like that. It probably never happened. Unless the person's completely deranged. But he's not deranged. You know, if it would be deranged, then nobody would make any isek out of it. They'd say, Avelts Meshugana, you know, he can't control himself, he does it all the time, and he's worthless. But, you know, until now, he had a shtickle reputation, even though he has a whole trail of episodes. And now everybody's coming out of the woodworks. Because nobody wants to be the one and only, and nobody wants to be treated as peculiar. But once there's a pattern, everybody's coming out now. You know, you're going to find that, you know. In fact, it may even be an opportunity to make money. You can be on the head of a magazine, the cover, and you know, you can get an interview in, you know, 60 Minutes or whatever it's called. I mean, there's what to benefit from exposing yourself and declaring that you were one of the victims. Aber der Unterstischur Rabbeis, I could not stop, I could not refrain from giving this mashal, which is life itself, the best mashal of all, when it's you know, simply handed to me on a silver platter. Just can't. Kanished. So Lemaisa, that is what it is. So getting back now, I just want to show you. He writes like this. He talks about kavod, and he says something so strong, and it's very, his style is very reminiscent to me, to the style many, many hundreds of years later of the Chafetz Chaim. The Talmud of the Rashba, very similar to the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim also paints these, I wouldn't even use the word mashal, but he gives these scenarios which are so simple, but yet so real. So when he speaks about kavod, that kavod gam kein, by the way, before we do that, I have no right to skip over it. In the middle of the third line, v'ataiva gam kein, k'sheyotze min hageder, she'omar hiro, she'sholeit olav yitzro, u'magbir ta'avosov v'macholim gasim v'rabim, u'sha'a ha'hanois ha'gufaniois, he doesn't shirk from it, u'befrat im hanoshim, she'hisibas ovdan gufo. He's speaking about how he depletes his energies, his physical strength, never mind that. What about his reputation? What about his life? Kilo oilam lo yizbak, kamo she'amru eiver katan yesh lo lo adam masbiyo ra'av u'marivoy saveya. Ra'av u'marivoy saveya. Ki misha moshe l'umagbir olav koyach ha'tayva, ein aroya atzmai saveya lo olam, u'mevio la'avar al kol ha'toyra ad avodazara. Ki l'maloiz ta'avotzei b'achilo b'mishgol yechal o shabbos, v'yoyit sheker v'yirtzach. Noi revoyim. For Achi or Niach Dosai Shiapotu Mikola Mitzvahs. For ye a Sibas Ovdan Oilamaze, Ki Yitzuru Yom of Balichas Yomim Mubidboris. For Amachochem Echot, Ainlo Odom Oyev Godol Ketaiva. A Chochem once said, no greater enemy is there that a person could possibly have than his own taiva, his own desires and instincts. Ki Ho Oyev, Pa'omim Yigbarolov. Pa'amim Yenutzach, a real life enemy, another person who's challenging him. Sometimes he'll win, and sometimes you'll win. But im yigbar lo pamachas, manicho pamacheres. Let's say he even wins the enemy. Maybe he'll let him go, or maybe he'll have rachmanis on him. Avol koyach hamisave lo yanicheu afilu shah ula olam lo yenutzach v'lo yirachim olav v'lachein motzi otzol mibeis olamos. Now he speaks about kavod. He says, imagine the extremes that somebody goes to get kavod, to get just plain kavod. Va'kavod gamkin k'shiyotzi min hageder she'omar, v'hu rotze she'yiskabed al abriyos shelo l'shem shamayim, v'rodef achar hasroro u'matalei mal chaveirov k'dei laharos ma'aloso yikvoidoi. He lords it over other people. He forces other people to give him honor. Husibas avdan gufo sheroche vanios vaholich mitboros lachoriv bayom lakerach balayla. He'll go to do all kinds of extreme things just to be honored. And how do you get honor? You have a lot of money. How do you make money? By spending your life and wasting your life trying to get as much as you possibly can. Lekabitz mamon liskabed lisnasel bnei doro. Here you also have a real life example. It's called Donald Trump. Vivakesh mailois mehasorim vahamalochim. And if Chas v'Shalom it doesn't succeed, Yomus midaygo va'anocha. He says you could even die from redifas hakavod if you're not successful in the end. You're in the despair. Nobody cares about me. I'm yesterday's newsprint. I'm good for wrapping fish. This is an unbelievable taich. Ve'im yiskariv l'malchus, and if chas v'shalom he's successful, and he does become somebody important and big, that's where his troubles begin, he writes. That's what he writes. Ve'im yiskariv l'malchus yavoh lo kamen izokin. Just because there's another guy that has a lot of redifas hakavod, and he's not happy with you because you're in a position that he covets. So what's he going to do? He'll get rid of you. So he'll be malshin on you. He'll have Edei Sheker speak against you, or he'll stab you in the back. Right? And all the while remaining an honorable man. So therefore, most malachim die young, he says. How could there be one Yeshayahu and four kings? The teretz is, they had very short lives. And of course he loses Olam Haba. She'eino nitzal me'averos koshos u'gedolos v'zeh yodua. U'bema'at b'muskol rishon, ma'at muskol rishon ma'atana negid shma avad shma. Person who tries to acquire a big name destroys his name. So he says that you even find the greatest of the great who because of this lost so much. He means Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. V'pnei elu shloisha hamidos. What are they? Adam harishain ava olav ruach kina niskani be'olyonim bepituye hanochosh be'emtzolz chava sha'amroloi v'yisem ke'loikim yoidei toivara v'garmu lehem nisa ulezaram sha'ochlu me'etzadas sha'osu shtayim roz gedolos b'maisa u'b'machshava v'yesh l'rabosenu zal inyan b'zeh niskar b'pikir Rebbe Lezer, and he quotes the inyan of the Nephilim and the Ramban. V'chulu v'chulu. So that's the first one. And then he writes that the Dor HaMabul was what was the result? Vayimach kol hayikum. The taiva overcame them and they were punished with the Mabul. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Nichamti ki asisim. And then it says the Dor HaFloga. Bikshulahem srora lasa shame v'kavod ka'amram v'nasa lanu shame. Kina ba'oyoinim adam arisha. Taiva dar hamabu. Kavod dar ha'afloga. V'nyonim eluhem b'pirke Rebbe Lezer yoyse ba'arucha. It's remarkable that if you really look at the world that's functioning, the vibrant real world out there, it is basically, you know, one of the great Jewish writers, Yiddish writers, who was a poet and he was a genius. So he once went to Paris and comes back from Paris back to wherever he was, you know, to Warsaw or to Vilna, I don't know, and the Olam is waiting for a report. And nothing's happening. There's no article about Paris. So someone comes over to him and says, whatever his name was, not Nagea. He said, I don't understand you. You're such a gifted writer, such a talented person. You go to Paris. You must have seen the Louvre. So you have nothing to say about all those incredible paintings? So he says, well, to tell you the truth, all those paintings are divided into one of three categories. So what is there to say? He says, three categories? He says, yeah. Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. So the truth is, the world today is mamish kina, taiva, and kavod. It's really, it's unbelievable.
And I always said this, a ball player can be of interest to you in an extremely peripheral and irrelevant sort of way. And a person could be interested in the ball playing because he knows that when he throws up a ball to the hoop, 99% of the time it misses. And if it's zeicha to hit the rim, it always goes in the opposite direction. It's amazing, Taka. So, you know, if you get points for that, it would always fall in. That's the way it is. But this person always succeeds. From wherever he is, he could be 30 feet away, 50 feet away, and he goes, give up, shoop, and it goes right in. So you're impressed, because you can't do that. Of course, he can't touch a Tosfos. But the fact of the matter is that that's a very low level of wasting time, maybe a drop, whatever. But then when you see that the person has a picture of this person on the wall, so that's a different level entirely, because then he's your hero. Show me who your heroes are. So when that person's your hero, that means that your whole orientation is warped from a Torah perspective, warped terribly. Now, why does that happen? Well, partly because you're immersed in something, it becomes important to you. But that's not the half of it. It's because this person has been elevated and elevated and elevated. You see his name and his picture all over the place. He's endorsing the March of Dimes. I don't know, whatever. I mean, he's just mamish all over, everywhere, in good things and bad things. And it's Arva Choshech Meshamshim Birbuvia, but the most important thing is that his name is constantly thrown at you from every angle. In print, video, script, internet, everything you could imagine. And he's always there. And he's making millions and millions of dollars. Sai Mitzad, the Etzem team that he's on, and Sai Mitzad, all the peripherals, the endorsements that he gives. So, you know, today, this set of shoes is endorsed by this golfer, and the next day, another set of shoes is endorsed by that basketball star, v'chule, v'chule. And they're making massive, massive amounts of money. You know, I often thought, maybe write them a letter and say, what would it cost you? Just give a few dollars to the base medrash over here. But I don't know, I never got around to doing it. Abba Lamaisa, it's the chnoir of ayim that you think that doesn't get to us. I don't mean to you and to me, but to the hamon of relatively erlich hayidin that are out there that are exposed to the world. And it makes a lot of sense why you hear so many people say that there's only one eitz, and that's to pull yourself away from the world in Gansen. Not that that's an easy thing to do, and it has consequences of its own. We live in Golus. Golus inherently is a very nefarious prospect. It's nishpashet. And we often wonder, what's the Eibishter's cheshbon of so many Jews assimilating? What's the pshat? But that's what it says in Parshas V'chukosai, V'avadetem Bagoyim. Havadetem Bagoyim means while you're in Bagoyim, V'avadetem. It's an incredible punishment. But when you have a world that's machshiv, kinah, taiva, and kovah to such an extent that the whole mechanism of the success of the world is based on it, then we have a tremendous nisayon. So the Navi comes and warns us, the Torah comes and warns us, Pirkei Avos comes and warns us. Hakinav, hataivav, hakovid, mitzi, and esa adam, min ha'olam. We should be zaychataka to see things in the right perspective, and the Rabbanu Shalom should give us this chus, and bring the geula sooner than later, so that we can be machnis as atzmenu la'olam, b'viyaz goyel tzedek, b'meheir, b'yameir, amen.